You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I think yesterday was the fifth Sunday of Lent, and we've been talking a lot about religion on this show, which is kind of a changeup for us. There were talks recently that maybe priests should be able to marry, and I got a real whopper for you now. Nancy Pelosi is backing women becoming priests, and she's actually saying that at one point, I think she wanted to become a priest. Now, joining us is Dr. Thomas Williams, who is an author and ethics professor. He's also the Rome Bureau Chief for Breitbart News. Doctor, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Grace, it is such fun talking with you again.
Now, I want to start. I have a piece here from the Postmillennial Doctor, and I'm just going to kind of go through this piece by piece, get your reaction, because you know more about this than I do, but I was reading this and going, oh my gosh, I cannot believe she has the gall to say some of these things. So she's at Georgetown University, and she's there as part of a new series titled Higher Calling, where political leaders and public servants will speak about the role of faith and ethics in their lives. She claimed many Catholic bishops are, quote, willing to abandon the bulk of Catholic social teaching because of one thing, in an allusion to abortion. Can you give us your reaction to that?
Yeah, well, you know, Nancy Pelosi, she's been saying things like this for a long time. She is what we used to call back in the day a kind of a cafeteria Catholic, in the sense that she kind of picks and chooses what she wants from the Catholic menu, and she calls herself a devout Catholic, even though she rejects certain things that Catholics consider central, you know, teachings, moral teachings, especially the question of abortion. So, and there are many Catholics who do that. So she's not alone in that. But, you know, it's kind of crazy to say the bishops are willing to abandon the bulk of Catholic teaching for one issue. I just don't understand. I heard her say that. I listened to the entire program. I watched it actually on video. And she was, you know, making this claim. And I'm thinking, what is she talking about, this bulk of Catholic social teaching that they reject? And I think what she really means is kind of the democratic platform of certain assistance and subsidies and things. But those aren't part of Catholic social teaching. Yes, loving the poor is, but there are many different ways of interpreting what the best way is to actually help people, you know, become prosperous and economically sound.
Yeah, and when we talk about this, and like you said, she picks and chooses what she wants to do, or which parts of the Catholic religion she wants to follow. And as you mentioned, a lot of people do that. I'm not immune to that either. But one thing I did want to point out is that she specifically called out the San Francisco Archbishop who denied her communion. And she said, I figured that's his problem, not mine, because I had 5 children in 6 years in 1 week. Now, Dr. Williams, maybe I'm missing something. What does that even mean? Like, this guy can't deny her communion because she has a lot of kids?
I think what she was trying to say is, I know a lot more about having kids than he does. I know. So my stance on abortion, I've got creds because I have kids. And, you know, it's kind of like saying, well, look, I didn't kill anybody for 20 years, so give me a break if I kill somebody now. I mean, come on, I've got all these creds of 20 years without killing somebody. I mean, you can't really do that. You know what I mean? You can't really say, well, since I had kids, then, you know, my public advocacy for being able to terminate the unborn in the womb is somehow okay now that I've had kids myself. You know, it doesn't make an awful lot of sense, I don't think, from a debating perspective in terms of, you know, it's not a very solid argument. But I think that sometimes people hear that and they think, oh, yeah, she's got a point. I mean, she's a woman. She knows more about that than the Archbishop does.
Yeah, and you know what? It actually reminds me a lot of when you are having this argument about abortion, this idea that only certain people are allowed to chime in. Like, men can't chime in because no uterus, no opinion, and unless you've unless you can understand this, the circumstances. And in reality, people can have opinions on whatever they want, and they can voice them. Dr. Williams, let's get to the bulk of this, though. According to this report and according to what she said at Georgetown, she at one point wanted to be a priest when she was growing up. And she said, turning bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, that is real power. Maybe one day women will be able to do that as well. Do you think that day will come? Do you think that's a good idea? And what do you make of this?
I mean, personally, I don't. I know that a lot of people share that opinion, and they're entitled to that opinion. I don't foresee it happening. Pope John Paul II was extraordinarily clear on this. In fact, he wrote a document saying that the church has no authority to change this. It's not a question of, you know, being backwards or not wanting to keep up with the times. But he said our understanding of Jesus' will for those he chose to be his priests was something that we have to respect. And it wasn't conditioned by the times he was living in. It was something that actually reflects something essential about the difference between men and women and that particular role of a priest representing Jesus in that action. And I know that a lot of people disagree with that. That is, though, it's kind of a fundamental Catholic tenet. And again, Nancy Pelosi's free to, you know, have whatever opinion she wants on that. She said in the interview when she was talking, she said, well, you know, my mom wanted me to be a nun, but I thought I'd rather be a priest because priests will have a lot more power, which already sounded, you know, a little strange to me. I don't know who would want to be a priest, you know, in order to have power. But, you know, that's one way of looking at the priesthood, I suppose. But it's, I don't know, it doesn't seem like a very healthy one.
Yeah, it sounds like a very Pelosi way of looking at the priesthood. I will say that. Dr. Thomas Williams, since we have you here, we had an entire hour a few weeks ago about this idea of priests being able to marry. And the Pope said he was kind of considering it. And I know it's something that comes up every couple of years. People talk about it sometimes around the kitchen table. You know, would it be a good idea if the Catholic priest could marry? I would love to get your take on it.
Well, I mean, obviously, it is a possibility in the sense that the original apostles, most of them had wives. I mean, although Jesus does talk about them leaving all that for the sake of the kingdom, et cetera. But, you know, there's nothing essential about the Catholic priesthood that says a married man cannot be a priest, right? So we start with that. It has been a discipline that's been upheld for centuries now and one that, you know, has been seen to be fruitful in its own way. I think that those who say we'd solve all the problems with sex abuse and with vocations and all these other things, kind of like this magic bullet, if we just allow priests to marry, I'm not sure that that holds up. I mean, there's a lot of, if you look at like the Eastern churches that do allow married priests, they're having a vocations issue as well. And also sex abuse among married clergy, even in other Protestant, for example, denominations is just as high as it is among Catholic priests. So, I mean, it's not really a question of celibacy either. Again, there's no reason to say it couldn't happen. And I think it's certainly infinitely more likely than women priests, because I think that it's something that is a real possibility as opposed to something that couldn't happen. But, you know, who's to say? I do think that those who say this is going to solve all our problems are just, you know, I think blind to the larger reality of the way society is moving and what the, you know, the deeper causes of some of these problems are.
And lastly, Dr. Thomas Williams, I wanted to ask you about a new poll out from the Wall Street Journal, and it shows that, among other things, the poll found that just 39% of Americans say their religious faith is very important to them. I'm curious what you make of this because, and I'm reading now from Fox, it says the Wall Street Journal compared those numbers of the first time it ran the poll in 1998 when 62% of Americans said religion was very important to them. And so now it's just 39%. What do you attribute that to? And is there a way to get that number back up or does it even matter?
Well, I think it does matter. I found it very, very distressing. And we've been seeing this now for years. Pew has been, you know, publishing all these results on the increase of nuns, N-O-N-E-S, those who, you know, have no religious affiliation at all. And America is becoming less and less religious. Does this bode well for the future? No, it does not. Is there a way to counteract it? you know, I'm not sure at this point. I think it's really a question of family life, and it's a question of the values that kind of undergird the nation historically. It's always been, I think, a real point of America's strength that it's a believing people, a people who, you know, really one nation under God. It's something that there is an understanding that there is a higher power and that we are ultimately accountable to someone above ourselves. And I think that all those things have been good to make, you know, America a very virtuous nation and, if you will, a God-fearing nation. I think that's been a good thing, not a bad thing. I think it's a long road to recovery, unfortunately. It seems like the trend is going in that direction, and you got to first stop that trend and reverse it. And, you know, that's the task at hand, but it's a daunting one.
Dr. Thomas Williams, I know you are such a busy man. We really appreciate you coming on and offering some of your expertise. If anyone wants to follow Dr. Williams, you can do so at TD Williams Rome on Twitter. And you should also really make an effort to read his work at Breitbart.com because he does a phenomenal job of covering, you know, it's everything too. It's not just what's happening with the Pope, what's happening in Rome, what's happening with the Catholic Church. It's also sometimes pop culture and the way that Catholicism can be exploited by these big time celebrities. So he runs the gamut as far as all of these stories go. Thank you very much, sir, for coming on the show.
You're very kind. Thank you, Grace.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right. So when we come back, we'll take your calls on this 844-500-4242. I just, he's right about the power thing. That's why Nancy Pelosi wants to be a priest. Not because she thinks she has a calling. Not because she thinks, oh, you know, this is really what I'm meant to do. It's the priests have more power. That, you know what? Actually, I think for once at Georgetown, she was being real with us. So thank you for that, Nancy. I appreciate it. During the season of Lent, you might as well be honest. New topical skin cream that can help reduce wrinkles, bags under your eyes, sagging skin, and dark circles without the use of dangerous, expensive Botox injections. It's called Skin De-Age. You guys are going to love this. This skin cream was developed to provide temporary tightening of your skin, and it helps you look younger to give you the courage you need to take on the day. Reduce the signs of aging. Get your confidence back. Skin De-Age works by mimicking a crucial protein in the Botox formula to provide the visual effects of a facelift in just 10 minutes, and it lasts all day. Skin De-Age offers visible results that are similar to Botox without the side effects. Some of these side effects include things like sight pain, swelling, bruising, headache, all these things you don't want, plus very, very expensive. But with Skin De-Age, you get the same amazing results at a fraction of the price with no side effects. Today, we have a special discount code that gets you a buy one, get one free deal. That's right. Buy one, get one. BOGO. Music to my ears. That's a 60-day supply for the price of 30 days. But how do you get it? You want to go to skindeage.com. It's skin and then DEAGE.com. Skindeage.com. Use discount code GRACEBOGO. That's discount code GRACEBOGO. The school shooting suspect in Nashville is dead. And tragically, there are 5 other people, including 3 children, who have died as well. Just a horrible, horrible, atrocious story coming out of Nashville today. And it's heartbreaking. And our prayers and our thoughts go to all of the people there in that community, and especially to all of the families that are involved here and have, you know, lost someone they love. Just terrible thing to report on today. 844-500-4242. We're going to talk about TikTok. We're going to talk about AOC. We're going to talk about all these things. But if you want to comment on Pelosi wanting to be a priest, I am game for that. I would love to know. I want to know if I'm the only one who read that and was thinking, now you're, come on now. It's one thing when she comes out and a reporter asks her a question and she says, I don't hate anyone. I'm a Catholic. I pray for people. That's one thing. But then to get up and say, you know, I actually wanted to be a priest. And there's no fact checking of that. It's not like pretending to be a Native American. We can't fact check whether or not she ever wanted to be a priest, but we can certainly talk about it. We'll be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. You probably recognize her from The Thing.
active.
Of your acting?
Yeah.
In the kitchen, cooking?
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
Yeah. There's no boat. There's no kitchen.
You never cooked chicken Alfredo with a friend?
No.
This is the, who is it again? Grace Curley Show.
A lot of reports are out now that the shooter in this horrible case in Nashville was a female, which is very rare for these kinds of incidents. So as we find out more, we'll let you know. But this is what we have so far. Female shooter killed 3 kids and 3 adults. So now it's up to 6 people. 844-500-4242. We just talked to Dr. Thomas Williams from Breitbart. And I love talking to him because he's so knowledgeable on all things having to do with Catholicism. And he actually has a book coming out, which I forgot to plug for him. It's The Coming Christian Persecution, and you guys can check that out at Amazon. I just tweeted out a link to it, but he's a very, very nice guy, and he's a lot more measured when talking about these things than I would be, especially if that were my beat and I were always covering religion and then Nancy Pelosi gets up and says, "Now, I've always wanted to be a priest for the power." I think I'd be a little more snarky, but I appreciate...
What's that about?
I appreciate his calmness. Ed, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ed.
Hi, Grace. I just wanted to comment on this. You know, if I thought this would shut these people up, I might be inclined to give them a concession. But the problem is they're just addicted to complaining. They're just addicted to feeling that they're aggrieved.
Yes.
And if you let Nancy Pelosi become a priest, she'd find something. The next day, she'd find 5 other things to complain about.
Oh, yeah. Once she was in there, she would want to rework everything. No, you're right, Ed.
Right.
And it kind of goes back to, and I referenced this, I think, on Friday, because I watched the whole Chris Rock special on Netflix, and there were parts of it I agreed with. There's parts of it I disagreed with. People have asked me, do you think I should watch it? And I say, if you can laugh at yourself and you can laugh at your politics, watch it. If you can't, you probably won't like it because he kind of goes after everybody. But one thing he said was we have an addiction in this country to attention. We are addicted to attention. And he lists 4 ways you can get attention. And the one he really focuses on for the special is being a victim. It's the easiest way to get attention. And no matter what, you know, topic you're on or no matter what industry you're looking at, there's always the victim angle. And, you know, he makes the point to say there are real victims in this world. But when everybody's a victim, it's like anything else, Jared. What do I always say about Hitler? When everybody's Hitler, when everyone's making the Hitler comparison, nobody's Hitler. When everybody's a victim, nobody's a victim. And you're right. It's this addiction to complaining. Now, everyone wants to talk about TikTok and spyware and all these things. And I was realizing last week, and stay on the lines because we're going to go back to your calls, but I was realizing last week that I was talking about TikTok and whether or not we should ban it here in the United States. And I mentioned some of the reasons why I think it's bad, because I think it's kind of accelerating the youth into an even greater level of stupidity, which I don't think we need any help with. But as Joe Biden says, everybody's got the right to be an idiot. That can't be the reason. But one of the things on TikTok that I've noticed is it's a lot of complaining. It's a lot of people who are mad about things, and they're mad about everything. They're mad that somebody at the library called them by the wrong pronoun. They're mad that the person at Starbucks didn't know that they're lactose intolerant and they put milk in, and then they disrespected their gluten-free allergy. Everybody is angry and complaining about everything.
Yeah, I saw a quote on Twitter and I regret I can't attribute it to whoever it was, but in a world where victimhood is currency, don't be surprised when people print counterfeit money.
A very, very true. I like that.
I wish I could claim it. Somebody on Twitter had it. Congratulations.
And you know what that kind of goes along with, Jared? It kind of connects to the fake Native American story of the day, which we are going to devote a good chunk of time to. But when we come back, we got people on the lines who want to discuss why people aren't going to church. I see that on my call screener right now. I think this is a great topic, and I would love to discuss. And it doesn't have to be church. Maybe why people are veering away from religion. Fox News had this up today. It's a poll from the Wall Street Journal. People are not feeling as religious. They're not feeling as patriotic. I think it's interesting right now to focus on the religious aspect, but either one of those is fine. We'll take your calls.
Father Pelosi says that the body of Christ must be handed out in terms of equity.
Do you think it would be Father Pelosi or would it be Mother Pelosi? Because she is a mother.
Oh, that's true.
Or do we think that at that point...
Non-binary representative Pelosi.
Yeah, I think at that point we just got to do away with those titles. And just start calling the priests by their last name. I don't know. We'll come up with something good. 844-500-4242. Stay on the line. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. As we told you in the last segment, there have been reports out that the shooter in Nashville was a female, and she killed three kids and three adults. There was just a woman on Fox News who was talking to, I don't know if it was Steve Ducey, about gun control. And there's a lot of people online who immediately go to this as well. And I'm not going to, of course, this woman can absolutely, she's there, she's at the school, she's terrified. She has every right to voice her opinion. I tend to, especially on the days when these things happen, I don't want to immediately go to, you know, what law in the book could have changed this, if there is any. It doesn't feel right to me. I know there's other people who will, and they'll go right into the back and forth and the politics of it all. But I'm just sending all my prayers to the people in Nashville and to all these families, because it's just tragic. 844-500-4242. We were discussing a couple things in the last segment. And the one that I kind of ended up zeroing in on here is, why aren't people going to church anymore? Why aren't people as religious as they were before? The Wall Street Journal had a piece out, and it showed that there's been a major decline in how religious people feel. And I think the callers have some theories on it. So let's start with Alex. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Alex.
Yes, Grace. I was very interested in that conversation. In my view, it's not the lack of attendance does not reflect a decline in faith in God. I think it reflects a decline in faith in organized religion. And I think it's very similar to a decline in faith in hospitals and in doctors and in the government and politician. These institutions are failing people. And whether it's the Catholic Church or other church organizations, look at how the Catholic charities are helping bring illegals into the country. We still believe in God. We just don't believe in these organizations as we did before.
Yeah, I definitely think what you just said about a lack of faith in institutions, it's pretty profound, and I think there's probably a lot of truth to that. I do think there is a downturn as far as people who feel religious. Maybe you could say they still feel very spiritual, but I don't think a lot of people are gravitating towards religion like they used to. That's just anecdotal from me. I mean, obviously we have the poll here, but I found with people my age that is kind of the case. But I agree with you, Alex, as far as people are skeptical. People don't buy into everything that they used to, and that's probably a huge component of it.
Yeah, and specifically with the example of Catholicism, that's not helped when the councils of bishops, when the Pope and people like that say things that are basically contrary to what has been doctrine or what has been taught or what has been the value of that religion. Like the leaders themselves, it's kind of like,
yeah,
what are we doing?
I was talking to Emma about this because we were talking about Catholic schools, and when Caroline Levitt had on the female swimmer who was talking about Leah Thomas and all these other things, and she said something about a Catholic school and how they were a little bit less woke than other places.
Riley Gaines.
And she said it was a little less woke than other places. And I was talking to Emma about that. She went to a lot of Catholic schools. And she said, yeah, to a degree, they can't be as woke as even they probably want to be, because a lot of the stuff in the Catholic Church, it just runs contrary to the woke ideology. And no matter how much the Pope might try, it's hard to change the fundamentals of the religion to fit, you know, Nancy Pelosi's wish list or whatever that might be. Tom, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom.
You know, my grandparents' generation, I remember talking to my grandmother during World War II, and that generation did not know if we were going to defeat the Germans or the Japanese. And where people found solace back in the 1940s was going to church. And somewhere along the line, the generation that followed, the basically the baby boomer generation, more or less kind of walked away from that because you really were living during peacetime. And now we're at a generation now of where kids are taught to hate this country. And they had, you know, now we just had another mass shooting. I watched that protest Boston on Saturday, and the first speaker they had that came up was some young girl that, first of all, she started ranting and raving about how America were living on stolen land. And there's just this brainwashing that's been going on with our public universities and in our schools, of where we've basically had teachers that are discouraging kids to get an organized religion. And it really is sad. I worry about this country. I'm retired. I got another 20 to 30 years left in this life. But I just see a very, very empty youth out there. And now you wonder why you have kids that are confused about their sexual identities. I don't know. I just shake my head and just feel bad for this generation. They've been really misled.
Yeah, and you know what, Tom? It's sometimes when you look at so many of the things that are going wrong and you point out the fact that there's something happening here, there's some sort of rot happening, there's some sort of mental health crisis, people will accuse you of, you know, taking it or using it as a cop-out. Like, oh, no, you just don't want to change things. You're going to say mental health. And I'm thinking, no, we for sure, you can go on these apps for 40 seconds and you can figure out there's a real problem here. And we can blame it on China. You know, we can, and if there's the national security issue, then that's something we need to figure out. And it's something we need to be able to explain to people so people can understand why we're going to ban TikTok. But beyond that, what's really at the heart of this, I think, is like Tom said, we have a generation of people who can be led to do whatever they think is going to drive clicks or, you know, make them famous or infamous. And that's a big problem that people don't want to focus on. And you know what? I think it would be a good time right now, and we'll continue to take your calls here. But this is a nice segue for me to talk about TikTok, because on Friday we had New York Congressman Jamal Bowman, and he was defending TikTok. And he got to something very important, Jared. Remember what I said to you? I said, Jared, there's a part of this cut that's the most important thing in everything Jamal is saying. He was defending TikTok and how there's business owners on there and how there's creators and how, you know, people need to be able to say what they want to say. And he's going. And it was like a New York Times article. By the time he got to the 15th paragraph, I went, ah, there it is. There's the part of this we've been avoiding. And what was that part, Jared?
If they ban TikTok, they could disenfranchise all the young users of TikTok who vote Democrat.
Yeah, and you know what the key word is there? Users. Because that is exactly what social media customers are. You're users. You're using something, and they're using you, and around we go. But Jamal let the cat out of the bag. He said, you know, we have all these young people, most of them are liberal. And to Jamal, whether it's national security or whatever else, it's not worth it to lose this huge chunk of gullible, brainwashable young people who are just waiting to be fed any information you give them, and they'll parrot it out to all of their followers. Listen, if kids are willing to eat Tide Pods to go viral, I'm pretty sure they'll buy Joe Biden's excuse for why inflation's really bad. It doesn't take much to convince them. So Jamal said that. Then I find out over the weekend that Jamal is not alone. AOC, and I was surprised. I was waiting for AOC to get involved in this because I thought, I don't know if she's going to be anti-TikTok because she's such a social media star. And this is what she had to say. This is cut four.
So why would we be proposing a ban regarding such a significant issue without being included on this at all? It just doesn't feel right to me. And additionally, this case needs to be made to the public. We are a government by the people and for the people. And if we want to make a decision as significant as banning TikTok. And we believe, or someone believes, that there's really important information that the public deserves to know about why such a decision would be justified. That information should be shared with the public.
Now, I want to point out that it is ironic that on Friday, AOC was railing against the Parent Bill of Rights that essentially is just saying, hey, parents should be able to know what their kids are being taught in school. They should be aware, you know, if something's going on at the school. All these things that if you first read it, you would go, don't we already have that? AOC was furious. She actually said that the parental rights bill was fascism. And now you have the same woman who is adamant that parents should have no right to know what's going on with their kids saying, what's the big deal if China wants to feed your kids some suicidal content? Is that really? Come on now. But here's what I want to say, and I know this is going to surprise people. It's a weird day. Okay, I don't know. What do they say, Jared? Like the moon's in orbit or something? Or like the sunrise, moon rises, or Mercury's in retrograde? I don't know what the expression is, but something's going on. Because now I find myself not just defending Kamala, but I'm about to defend AOC, and here's why. Her point about making this case to the public, I do think is really important. Because, as I mentioned, I was thinking about how TikTok is accelerating the stupidity of the younger generation. And Lord knows, when you watch these videos and you see these horrible challenges and people identifying as cats and all sorts of things, they don't need any help in that department. Okay, they are all set when it comes to that. But then I was pulling up today to get my coffee. I was sitting there and I was thinking, but that's not a good enough reason to ban it. It has to be the national security angle. And I agree with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That case has to be made clearly. It can't just be, oh, we think that it's a national security risk. Show us how. And I'm sure they have plenty of evidence. I'm not suggesting that it's not a national security risk. But I think that Republicans and Democrats alike need to present this in a way that is very digestible for the American people so we can all get on board and we can explain to these creators, who, by the way, are going to freak the hell out when we ban TikTok, why it's being banned. But it can't just be, oh, the content's dangerous for kids. Because guess what? You could say that about all social media. All of the social media is dangerous. And it can't just be, oh, well, China's feeding us, you know, stupid content to dumb down the next generation. Well, if the next generation wants to be dumbed down, then that's their prerogative. Like I said, my favorite quote from Joe, everybody's got the right to be an idiot. It's got to be a little stronger than that. So they have this act going, the Restrict Act, and it's bipartisan. Hopefully they'll get, you know, a lot of people on board with it, and hopefully they'll be able to explain to people why this is important, why China is spying via this app. And you know what they have to do? I'll tell you this right now. They got to get some younger people in there to kind of help these congressmen and congresswomen explain, maybe give them, you know what we need to do? Like Caroline on Friday, she gave the listeners, when she was filling in for Howie, she gave them a rundown on TikTok. And I don't think a lot of our listeners even need a rundown. Most of them understand what it is. But the people in D.C., the people in the swamp, they could use a Caroline Leavitt in there to kind of say to them, here's the situation, okay? This is the app. This is how it works. Don't go out there and ask the CEO questions about, you know, like, have know what you're going into.
If I make a video on TikTok, have I done a Substack?
Yeah, it was giving that vibe. Who is that woman? Was her name Debbie?
No, Debbie that something? Was...
Gloria? Was it Gloria?
Gloria. I'll have to look that up, but yes.
Gloria. Yeah, it was giving Gloria. All of these questions that were being asked. 844-500-4242. When we come back, we are going to talk about Kamala Harris because, as I mentioned, I did write a piece on her over the weekend. Joe is not impressed. How's this, Jared? How do you like this one? Ready? Joe's not impressed with Kamala because...
Rep Sylvia Garcia from Texas.
Oh, Sylvia. I was close, though. Do I get... You know, it's Monday. I'm going to give myself that one. I think that was pretty close. Okay, listen to this, Jared. Joe is not impressed with Kamala Harris because she's not taking enough off of his plate. As I pointed out in my article, what is on Joe Biden's plate? Well, he's meeting with the cast of Ted Lasso. He's reading poetry to Bruce Springsteen. He's eating a lot of ice cream. He's talking about global warming with Dr. B. Not a lot. Not a lot for Kamala to take over, to rise to the occasion for. But now I get wind that Hunter Biden's legal team is not impressed with the White House. So Hunter, you notice he's been gathering lawyers. They've been sending out letters to the laptop repair guy, to other people saying, you can't sue us. We're suing you. Well, what's really interesting now is that, according to reports, Hunter doesn't think this White House is going to be able to handle this PR crisis. And I don't know if he's the smartest guy I know, but I think he might be onto something here. He must have watched KJP for 2 seconds and he said, damn it, I got to lawyer up. I got to bring in the big guns. I got to use some of this China money to hire a good team here because these people don't know what they're doing. We'll talk about that when we come back. 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Grace Curley is pure Americana.
I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. And I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid. An American
girl. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is do you think D.A. Alvin Bragg will drop the case against President Trump?
No, I think he's gone too far. You know, he's put himself out there now. He's either going to become a hero who tried to take down Donald Trump, but if he backs away, I don't think the women on The View, I don't think that the fawning people at CNN, I don't think they're going to be happy with Bragg. And so I think he's going to have to do something here.
Either die as the hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. 44% say no, they do not think Alvin Bragg will drop the case. 56% believe he will drop the case.
On another note here, we're talking about this horrible story out of Nashville, and CNN had this woman, and I just mentioned that I heard this woman on Fox. I had Jared potted up when I was in the green room, and she was talking about gun safety, and I just mentioned that when these things happen right away, before we know any information, I do like to just give you the facts and just offer up my condolences, my prayers, and just keep it to that. But I just watched another cut of this woman on CNN. I guess she's a woman who's on vacation in Nashville, and she drove over to the school to talk to reporters. That's what I'm seeing here on Twitter. And she's making a lot of, and this is why I'm always careful here. She's making a lot of unsubstantiated claims about what happened. She's saying things like it's likely
on
it was
CNN. I refuse to believe that
it was a likely purchase legally. It was likely this. It was likely that. And I'm thinking, well, where are you getting this information from? And CNN's just running with it. We'll be right back with more. 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere.